hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life, and we thank God for another Saturday, the first Saturday for new month, October. It's always a privilege to come your way, and it's just the grace of God that we are alive to continue doing what we have to do for Him. Indeed, interesting times we live in, and it's just interesting how things are shaping up, linking up. If you link it up with the Word of God and all that is happening around us, you get to understand that the Word of God is true. And the earlier we get to know what the Bible says, the better. And knowing what the Bible says is one thing, but knowing what is happening around us per what the Bible talked about is also important. You know, just knowing about Bible prophecy is not good enough. It's not enough. But knowing how to live with what you know is the real deal. And that's what we need, with that wisdom to know how to live in these times we are in, is very, very important. Because you can know all that is happening around you, but if you don't know how to live your life and what to do and when to do things, what's the use of knowing what is happening? So yes, we bring to you the events, remind you of what Bible prophecy is saying and what is happening and all that. But the essence of this program ideally is to prepare ourselves spiritually, not just information wise, but spiritually, to understand the timing, what is happening, and what we should do, how to prepare, and all that. Sometimes believers tend to move into an overdrive point where it's like, oh, you know, we've heard it before and all that. But the Word of God is still the Word of God, and when it matters most, that is even when we should depend on it the most. And I believe we are in those times where we have to really be particular about Bible prophecy. Not only that, but ultimately seek His face, seek His wisdom, and seek His direction, because we are not in ordinary times, as the politicians will say, as the health personnel will say, as the social scientists will say. Ultimately, in the spiritual realm, we are not in ordinary times. Unfortunately, people tend to think we not being in ordinary times is just associated with the economic and health and, you know, social life and all that. But even in the spiritual realms, ideally, the spiritual realms is what even controls the physical. So the state of the world as we see it now and what we are feeling and experiencing and all, the dynamics being controlled in the spiritual realm, because things happen in the spirit realm first before it manifests in the physical. So if we are not in ordinary times physically as we see it and we accept that, then let's also know that spiritually we are also not in ordinary times at all. And we can't do the same things we used to do all the time and expect a different result or different results. And clearly, if we are not in ordinary times spiritually, that also implies that we should also push to another level in the spiritual realm, whatever it is, in our prayer, in our Bible study. And these are critical. You know, we should start building our capacity, our spiritual capacity, to withstand difficult. You know, it's not about being scared. It's not about, being a doomsday monger or whatever. But it's about what the Bible talks about and what is coming. And, you know, what's the use of the Lord warning about something and we just take it lightly? You see? So these are very critical days. Spiritually, we should renew our minds as to the times we are in. It's very unfortunate that most people or believers, you know, have acclimatized in the midst of the normalized situation with the post-COVID or post-lockdown era. And we've gone back to our lukewarm and normal states in the midst of the COVID season, as it were. But I believe this whole cycle or period that we are going through, it's meant to be a learning experience for the body of Christ, to give us a foretaste of what is ahead. And I'll be talking a bit more in the course of the news. Let me quickly delve into it. All right. So I'm Eben, your regular host. And tonight, as we move on, we start with the news. The last number of weeks we've been talking about digital parenting, the technologies and parents, what we have to do, even adults, not necessarily parents alone, and some of the dangers out there, how the devil is using these things to waste our time and to channel our energies wrongly and all these things. And we've been addressing some of these issues. And for those who sent questions or be asking questions or messages or contributions, sometimes after you've reached home before, some messages are seen. So if you'll be sending messages in the course of the program, I believe you should, or you can send them a bit earlier. That will help out to be able to read them during the time frame of the program. And this number is what I will use, 0244-638-7557 for the SMS and the WhatsApp. Depending on how the time goes, I may open the phone lines, which is the studio line, and that's 0546898888. All right, so let me get into some of the news and let's move on from there. Deep magnitude 7.2 earthquake strikes coast near Vanuatu Islands, and a powerful and deep quake measuring a magnitude of 7.2 has struck near the Vanuatu Islands in the South Pacific, according to European Mediterranean Seismological Center. Fortunately, it was very deep down there, so it didn't cause a tsunami. And, you know, the truth is, we should be looking out for more of such. It's going to increase in intensity and in magnitude. You know, when Jesus talks of the signs of his coming, like birth pangs of a woman in labor, increases in intensity, and the duration shortens. So as you are having intense, the pain increases and becomes more intense, the period and the duration between the pains also becomes shorter towards the delivery period. So as things are shaping up in more dramatic ways, clearly the numbers are going to go higher, magnitudes, intensity is going to go higher, and the duration within which it's been happening is also going to be shorter. And these are all the signs that Jesus talked about. Then one of the world's most active volcanoes has once again erupted on island of Hawaii. And this is the Kilauea volcano. It's blowing off steam again and creating quite a scene on the island of Hawaii. The volcano erupted Wednesday in the Halemaumau crater at the summit within Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. According to officials of the U.S. Geological Survey, the latest eruption sent lava flowing and shot clouds billowing, clouds of billowing volcanic gas high into the air. And then already last week I talked of the La Palma one in Spain, island of Spain, and that one, the flow has even entered into the sea. Lava flowing into the sea. And it's quite a scene, and how the red hot thing just enters the sea, and then it's all about the water vapor, the vapor cooling and all that. And you know, nature is uncontrollable. When nature decides to do things, it's uncontrollable, and all these things make things very unpredictable for countries, because countries or people can say they want to do this, but when nature decides to go otherwise, there's nothing that can be done. And these are interesting times we live in indeed, because as I said earlier, we are going to see more of events, natural disasters and unnatural, things off the normal. Let's even look at Kumasi rains in the last one month, September, and we started October, and look at the average, the number of how often it's rained in the last few weeks, or the last 4 weeks in September. I believe it's quite unprecedented in terms of the volumes that we've had in these days. And you know, everything is becoming unpredictable, off the script. So it's so easy for science to quickly adjudge it and blame it on climate change. But when God is doing his thing, well, you still have to find a reason to. Because if you are a professor in PhD and all that in these things, and you are asked what is happening, you should find a reason. You can't go and say that these are end time things, of course. So you have to find a scientific reason and explanation. And of course, it's the climate change that becomes the first scapegoat that is always used to push away any other questions. All right, so we have China sent more than 3 dozen warplanes in skies near Taiwan in the largest incursion yet. And they sent 38 warplanes into the skies around Taiwan on Friday, the highest number of Chinese military aircraft to breach the island's air defense identification zone in a single day since Taipei began publicly reporting such activities last year, according to Taiwan's defense ministry. And this was a report they gave Friday night. And these are 25 PLA planes involved in the day incursion. Daylight incursion included 18 J-16 fighters, 4 Su-30 fighters, 20 H-6 bombers, and 1 Y-8 anti-submarine warfare aircraft, according to the Defense Ministry. Then just as I was coming to the studio, leaving to come to the studio, I saw this news again that came, that says China sends more aircraft towards Taiwan 1 day after largest ever incursion. So Chinese Air Force has sent more air defense zone. And Taiwan's military said on Saturday, 1 day after the largest incursion ever into the zone, China sent 20 aircraft, followed by a second wave hours later, toward Taiwan. It means that nearly 80 planes, including fighter jets and bombers, have now moved towards the democratically run country in the last 2 days. Beijing views Taiwan as a breakaway province and claims it is part of its own territory. The two countries split in 1949, and China has been increasing pressure on the self-ruled nation, whilst opposing its involvement in international organizations such as the UN, United Nations. The regime has been sending aircraft toward Taiwan on a nearly daily basis in recent years, but this has ramped up dramatically in recent days. And the way things are going, China will take over Taiwan, just as, you know, the Hong Kong thing has gone, they've changed the laws and all that, and they will take over Taiwan. And now they know that America cannot do anything because they wouldn't dare do it. They were not comfortable under Trump because they knew Trump would act and defend them. But now, with this current U.S., their woke government, woke military and everything woke, I mean, the woke nonsense that has happened over the world now where things which are logical are no longer logical again. So now they know that the U.S. is no longer the U.S. of old. Now it's a woke America. So a woke generation has come into power and they know that they can do anything and America will just complain and nothing else would happen. So let's watch out. By the time you realize China, they've taken Taiwan, and that will be another big shakeup in the Middle East, the Asia region as well. Then to Canada, where we have Canadian pastor arrested on tarmac over COVID rules. Says that police confiscated luggage and snooped the laptop. Polish Canadian pastor who has been repeatedly arrested for holding church services in Calgary, Alberta, said Canadian border police confiscated his belongings and apparently broke into his personal computer. When Pastor Arthur Palowski landed back in his home city of Calgary on Monday following a four-month tour of the United States, customs officials were waiting to cuff him on the tarmac for two criminal charges, he told Fox News in an interview. They have fallen to a new low, unquote, Palowski said of the Canadian authorities. Quote, our lawyers contacted them and asked them if there were any or there are any pending warrants for me when I was in the States. They said there are no pending warrants. There is nothing outstanding, unquote. Palowski had been traveling throughout the U.S. over the summer to spread his warning that Western governments increasingly resemble the communist regime in Poland. He fled as a young man. His tour followed the international attention he received in April when officials went to his church in Canada during the Holy Week, that's the Easter Holy Week, to inspect it for COVID-19 compliance. Because they entered the sanctuary armed and uninvited during a worship service, Palowski refused to speak with them. Instead, he accused them of being Nazis and shouted them down until they could leave. 3 weeks later, officials returned with a court order authorizing them to access Palowski's church and arrest him if he failed to comply. Again, he demanded they leave the church property and contact his lawyer. On May 8th, a motorcade of Calgary police vehicles pulled over Palowski and his brother to arrest them in the middle of a highway on their way home from church. This time, Palowski speculated that they misled his lawyers before activating criminal charges against him Monday whilst he was in the air. The first criminal charge, Palowski explained, was levied against him for failing to wear a mask in public despite a medical exemption from his doctor. The second was for organizing an illegal church gathering. Both were related to offenses in March and June. In an interaction he characterized as an ambush, Palowski recounted how three officers demanded that he and his pilot step out of the plane. He said he heard one of the officers tell the pilot to surrender his phone, though the pilot refused and managed to record the incident. Sarah Miller, one of Palowski's attorneys, said his treatment has been unusual. Quote, there was no need to do that at the airport, she said, adding that police could instead call him in advance, tell him that they are coming over to lay criminal charges, meet him at his house, give him opportunity to assess legal counsel and sign paperwork without having any detention. I think that would be the ordinary way to do it, she added. But if you've been following Arthur Palowski's story, there is nothing ordinary about the way he is treated by officials. Since the pandemic, other churches in Canada and Alberta have faced imprisoned pastors, locked facilities, steep fines, and continued interference from government officials. Palowski believes churches and clergy are being targeted because they have historically opposed tyranny. Quote, Jesus Christ is very clear, the pastor said. He says, who comes to me is free indeed. We preach freedom. We preach hope. When you don't have hope in society, then the people are turning for that hope to the government. I think the government wants to become God, to be worshipped, And anyone else or anything else that competes with that has to be destroyed. And then it says, Paluski faces court dates on October 13th regarding separate civil charges against him related to his church gatherings. His civil and criminal charges carry a maximum sentence of 6 years imprisonment, though his lawyer said such an outcome is highly unlikely. During his last hearing, prosecutors for Alberta Health Services were seeking 21 days in jail and a fine of $2,000. Paluski is unsure of how the ruling will play out, but even if he has to return to prison, he remains hopeful. I am optimistic that this story is going to end well for me because of the pressure right now that the government has, he said, noting how his case has drawn the eyes of many Americans. Eric Trump released a statement Tuesday calling Paluski's most recent arrest an embarrassment to Canada. In June, Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican, Missouri, called on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom to consider adding Canada to its watch list because of how it's treating pastors. Quote, I really think that people will rise up and will come to my defense and at the same time to their own defense, Paluski said. Quote again, because listen very carefully, and indeed listen also very carefully as I read what he said. They came for me, they will come for you. It's just a matter of not if, but when. Let me repeat. Paluski said, because listen very carefully, they came for me, they will come for you. It's just a matter of not if, when, but when, unquote. And this is the truth. You see, people have to understand what is happening in the world now. I mean, the whole world, various countries, mandates here and restrictions, church lockdowns, don't go, don't come. A whole lot is happening. It's a dry run, it's a demo that the church should be learning from and believers should be learning from. We are being given a foretaste of the bigger picture that is coming ahead of this. We are seeing, you see, the church has not been ready for large, I don't mean those in the East, India, China, and those being persecuted already, but the Western Christianity, including us, the Western Christianity, who over the years we've not experienced persecution and all that. We've thought over the years that we'll escape, nothing is going to happen to us, we'll have our smooth run and just wait for the rapture and then we go and, you know, nothing, no problems for us. But COVID should make us learn something. For instance, in last year in Ghana, Kumasi, you know, for the first time you had pastors being arrested because of under the name of public health violations. You know, whoever thought the time will come that will lock churches for even 3 months? I mean, it's never happened before under our normal times. No one, has seen it in recent times. It hasn't happened, but it was possible. So the events unfolding now are for us to learn from it, to know that indeed, when the Bible says something is going to happen, indeed it is going to happen. But because of the seriousness of what is coming, in terms of the real, persecution and the Antichrist system and all that, for us not to be caught off guard, the Lord, through his wisdom, is giving us a foretaste of it through what is happening now in the world. For us to see that it is possible for us to put our houses in order and to be prepared for the bigger one that is ahead. Because, you see, when you see countries like Canada where, democratic country like Canada, beautiful country and all that, but suddenly, it's as if laws don't work again. It's as if it's under a dictatorship, it's under a communist system. And actually, a lot of countries, not a lot, but a number of countries are having such reports where it's as if their leaders have become dictators overnight. All these things are in preparation for the Antichrist system itself. see, and it's not going to get better. I mean, if anyone tells you this world is going to get better, things are going to improve, we are going to have our freedoms as we used to pray COVID, the church is going to have its freedom, please, you are being deceived. If someone tells you that, if even it's a prophecy that things are going to get better, this world is not going to get better. The truth, the bitter truth, the unfortunate, uncomfortable, unpalatable truth people don't want to hear is things are going to get worse. Worse in terms of economic conditions, difficult times, persecution. The church as we know it is not going to go this long for a long time. I mean, the normal church as we know it. It's just a matter of time, and there will be laws and decisions that will make it virtually uncomfortable for the churches to meet normally as we've known over the years. You see, I've talked about this before in the heat of last year's lockdown period, last year's lockdown of the churches was a period for the churches, church leaders and all, to start training their people towards the home church concept, to build leaders, to identify leaders and train them towards home church leadership, like how people should lead home churches. You see, unfortunately, that learning experience, how many churches took advantage of it? Very few. You see, and unfortunately, it's more of like, oh, it's over, so let's get back to the normal big auditorium, all of us gather together. You see, it's because of, I believe, one of the reasons is the mindset that we have towards church. We believe church should be like this, so we are not ready to accept any other alternative, home church or something. But that is the foundation. That's the early church concept. That's how the early church grew. And even now, if you read, you check about Pastor Yonggi Cho's church in South Korea, the secret to our growth is based on the cell system, the cell concept. So there's the main church is there, but it should be possible for people to be able to meet at a smaller level if the need arises. So let's look at a case study, for instance. Assuming a church was having an effective cell system, home cell system, I mean, and this lockdown came like it came last year, the 3-month lockdown or so, such a church will not struggle because the system is already in place to just activate it. So people already know, okay, you people, you are in this area, so you gather in brother so-so-and-so's house. You people, you are in this area, you gather at sister so-so-and-so's house. I mean, the system is already in place. And I'm saying this because we shouldn't think the storm is over. No. The storm, the bigger storm is coming. So, pastors and church leaders listening to this program, by the grace of God, if you are listening to this program, please start putting in place a home cell system in your church. We shouldn't think, I mean, if we give them this, they will take the church or, I mean, no. I mean, let's think beyond those things that this person will break away with the church and take the church away and all that. It's about the stability of the people growing in the absence of a regular system as we've known over the years. If we don't take advantage of this grace period, as I'll call it, to quickly adapt, learn, see what is happening, and let the Holy Spirit guide us to quickly know what to do, especially in the times ahead, we'll sit there quietly, watch, and events will catch us unprepared. And when laws are being passed, regulations are being pushed, that eventually people are not coming to church again. Is it that time that you are now going to be calling people, meet at this person's house, meet at that person's house? Now that all is well, and it seems the storm is calm, now is the time to establish those systems. And for leaders who really are serious about these things, take it to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord will give you the wisdom, who the people to choose as leaders and how to train them and all, to equip them, because we should look beyond the calm storms that we seem to be having. Then, quickly to the next one, deep in hiding Afghan Christians cling to faith. They take turns staying awake, praying and walking the floor while others sleep, blissfully unaware at least for a few hours that they are being hunted. They have no passports, no visas, and very little of what they need most of all, hope. For those Christians in a safe house deep in Afghanistan, time is running out. Together, they live in fear of a single knock on their hiding place door from the Taliban. Quote, "It happened so fast," unquote, Sarah said. "We had many plans for preaching the gospel with other brothers and sisters. Now, their plan is just to survive. Even that, they know will be difficult." To the despair of rescue groups and humanitarian workers, the small proportion or population, sorry, of Christians in Afghanistan has seemed to vanish almost overnight. Some have fled to the hills, others have retreated into the shadows, turning off their phones and hunkering down in whatever undisclosed location they can find. Some have just gone missing completely. For people like Jean Marie Thrower, those are the ones that haunt her. People are going missing and getting killed every day. On the ground, her Afghan rescue crew hears the harrowing stories of desperate parents. "We have had people shot and beheaded. They are taking the kids. If you are on the run and they find your family, they will hurt your family and put the word out in the neighborhood that we've got your brother or your son or daughter. They cut off the heads of two boys that were 9 and 10. The Taliban is executing Christians faster than her organization can find them. We started out with 300 3 weeks ago, and we are down to 55. The orphans, if they are lucky enough to be left behind, are starving. Thrower talks about two little girls who managed to hide after their parents were murdered, but eventually they got so hungry that they ventured out to the market. The Taliban found them, raped them, and beat them. Seriously. In villages where the families didn't have time to escape, the Taliban are going door to door, taking women and children. The people must mark their houses with X if they have a girl over 12 years old, so that the Taliban can take them. If they find a young girl and the house was not marked, they will execute the entire family. While this White House is busy patting itself on the back for Afghanistan, calling it an extraordinary success, 7,000 miles away, fathers are handing guns to their wives and daughters so that they can kill themselves if the terrorists come. Even hiding is a double-edged sword. Every day, one Christian told this American contact, "I receive a call from a private number. A soldier warns me that if he sees me again, he will behead me." The Taliban are tracking them, stalking them, warning them that they know where they are. Even within the networks we have, a number of people have changed their phone numbers because it's simply not safe anymore. International Christian Concerns William Shack lamented. Others have gone completely dark, making it impossible for rescue workers to find them. "It's just an utter and complete humanitarian disaster," one activist said helplessly. The families, fortunate enough to connect with an outside group, are huddling in undisclosed hotels, listening to the manhunt outside. But they are running out of food and water. Thrower shakes her head. "They are afraid to leave the house for the past 10 or 12 days. We have people in our organization paying, and I'm sending them money through Western Union. If I don't give them money, they won't be able to stay in this hotel for another week. All their teams," she said, "are going 24 hours without sleep, desperate to keep these endangered people alive. They all understand what one church leader has warned. They will kill the unknown Christians to spread fear. Known Christians to spread fear." Meanwhile, thousands of miles away, the Biden administration has already moved on. They are fighting abortion laws and ordering vaccine mandates not giving a single thought to the thousands of people they abandoned and left behind. Whatever time they do spend on Afghanistan is reserved for their victory propaganda, declaring the withdrawal a huge success. Tell that to the Jardine and then the other Christians huddled in Kabul, wondering if this night will be their last. He is not afraid to die. Like many there, he is more afraid the world will forget them. Pray for us, he asked. We are praying that the Lord would put his angels round over our house for our protection and safety. God has a plan, another Christian leader in hiding insisted. He knows what's best for his children in Afghanistan. The church has been united. Fear is the biggest thing. If leaders are afraid, the people in the church will be afraid. People are struggling to trust their own God. Through this hardship, the church will grow, but there will also be an exodus of Christians from Afghanistan, he predicts. Wow, that's quite a harrowing story, news item there. All right, so the next says, Hindu extremists beat pastors at police station in central India. A Hindu nationalist mob this month beat three pastors and manhandled an officer at a police station in the capital of central India's Chhattisgarh state, sources said. Police disrupted the service or worship service of New Life Fellowship Ministry in Rapal and summoned Pastor Harish Sahu to the Purani Basti police station. The officers arrived in a police van with 8 to 10 Hindu nationalists, according to the pastor. I was conducting the service when they arrived, Pastor told Morning Star News. The policemen asked me what I was doing, and I said that I was sharing the word of God from the Holy Book. The Hindu extremists in the police van tried to enter the church building, he said. The Hindu mob tried to enter the church whilst I was preaching, and I saw that the police blocked the entrance of the door and refused to let them in, he said. Then a police officer entered the church and filmed the service for a few minutes, clicked some pictures, and then went outside and showed the video and pictures to the extremists. Police told Pastor Sahu to come to the police station, and he said he would come after the service. He showed up at the police station at noon and was waiting for two other pastors. And then, while some 200 Hindu extremists stood outside shouting anti-Christian slogans, after police began questioning the pastors, the Hindu mob stormed the police station, shouting obscenities and anti-Christian chants. And then they said that you should beat them with shoes, and then all that. So the three pastors were beaten, and on and on and on. You know, these things are happening in increasing numbers and reports in parts of the Asia, and the interesting and good thing is the more these things happen in these communities, the stronger their faith. It's just like the Bible, where in the book of Acts, the disciples, apostles are beaten and they rejoiced and counting themselves worthy to be beaten. You know, it's the whole knowledge or their belief in God is based on the fact that life is beyond this place. So it doesn't matter what they go through, they don't deny Christ. And I believe that's one missing element in the Western Christianity, which over the years we've had it comfortable with, almost nothing really being a bother to us in terms of persecution largely. And unfortunately, this has affected our perception of persecution. And I believe it's important pastors get back to these topics. I was very glad when I saw, the Sunday school manuals for the last few weeks and all that, persecution being treated in assemblies of God and all that. And see, the churches that use the manual, their manual, you see. So these are topics that should be treated. Persecution is part of Christian living, Christian life. You see, so unfortunately, if people are not taught, it's not talked about and all that, then people think Christianity is just a bed of roses. So should that option come in any way, then people will just deny their faith and leave the faith. And this is what we should guard against seriously. California parents file lawsuit to stop curriculum that makes kids pray to Aztec gods. And three parents filed a lawsuit accusing the California State School curriculum of violating the U.S. Constitution over an ethnic studies lesson that asks kids to pray and chant to Aztec, Aztec gods. And the Blaze reported that our clients are not opposed to having students learn about different cultures and religions, including the practices of the Aztecs, said Paul Jonah, special counsel at Thomas More Society, which is representing the parents in court. But the California State Board of Education's approved ethnic studies model curriculum goes far beyond that by directing students to pray to Aztec deities, he explained. This portion of the ethnic studies model curriculum is not only offensive, but blatantly unconstitutional. The issue emerged earlier this year when researcher Chris Rufo reported on that particular aspect of the state's ethnic studies curriculum. As Fox News previously noted, the curriculum suggests chants that invoke the deity Tezcatlipoca. And then this is an Aztec god that was honored with human sacrifices. According to the World History Encyclopedia, an impersonator of this god would be sacrificed with his heart removed to honor the deity. In Aztec mythology, the Tezcatlipoca, this name there, is the is the brother of this one there. It's even more serious. I skipped that name. And all these gods are being invoked in chants. Now the question is, why do you want to teach this in schools? You see, they are destroying, using the, I've said it over and over, I mean, in the Western, in the US especially, they are using the educational system to destroy the children. That's why we should be careful of the books that, I mean, imported books, foreign books, that we allow our children to read. Because now, if you don't scrutinize what your child is reading, I mean, it's serious. This week, I was told of when my children go to school, I was having a chat with the old school owner, and she was telling me of a case that happened in a mother. She knows the mother of this boy who goes to whichever school, and the boy just, they said they can't find a child. I mean, not really a boy, but okay, a teenager, late teen sort of. And he was found somewhere on the Accra Road. Apparently, he just saw a car going to Accra, jumped into it, and then he was found there. So someone, a good Samaritan, was able to get him to give the mother's number, and then he was brought back and all that. And in asking the boy what happened and all, he said he read a certain book that someone brought to school, and some occultic numbers and things. And now, you see, so we have to let our children be very careful what they watch. This discussion we've been having on digital parenting is not only, we shouldn't just limit it to technology, but physical books. Books still contain information. So you see, we should be mindful, and we should let our children understand what is happening in the world now, so that they just don't accept anything they are just giving out there when they go to school. Someone brings any book and they just take it, and they are told that, oh, read this, it's very good. You get this, you see things, you understand this. And we have to really let our children know the dangers out there, because these books that are introducing, you know, children and teenagers and the youth to occultism and to other deities and calling spirits and all, it's increasing, and it's important we are aware of some of these dangers out there. All right, the program is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. Perhaps this is the first time you're listening to this program. This program is Issues of Life, that comes every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eben, let me finish off with a few news items and continue from there. We have Evangelical Foster Agency can't refuse same-sex couples, according to UK's appeals court ruling. So a court of appeal in England and Wales has ruled that an evangelical foster agency may not place foster children only in the homes of, you know, opposite sex married couples. That's the normal married couple, male, female, as we know. But now the court is saying that if a request comes from a gay LGBT family, this evangelical, it's sad, evangelical foster agency will have to place children in those homes. I mean, so you can imagine that you have children that evangelical group, you are Christians. You know that this child that you are taking to this home, the child is going to be destroyed. But now the court is saying this, but they say they are fighting it to the Supreme Court, so they are not accepting this result, so they are taking it up to the Supreme Court. The difficulty with this logic is that it equates religious discrimination with sexual orientation discrimination in all circumstances, when that is something that Parliament has not done, the ruling states. The Parliament has, speaking broadly, chosen to give priority to religious faith in a private context, but to give priority to sexual orientation where public services are concerned, always subject to considerations of proportionality in the individual case. Simon Calvert of the Christian Institute, which is helping to represent Cornerstone, told the Christian Post on Monday via email that the Court of Appeal wrongly concluded that Cornerstone was unlawfully discriminating on grounds of sexual orientation. The courts incorrectly stated that Cornerstone recruits carers on behalf of local authorities and therefore cannot rely on equality law exceptions created for religious organizations. So, you know, goes on to say that the placing of children, which is done on behalf of local authorities, therefore, Cornerstone is free to rely on these exceptions, which are vital to protecting its distinctively Christian mission. So they are a Christian organization, but, you know, this is the new world we live in. Then the next one says, evangelicals push for new bishop after church in Wales allows pastors to bless gay marriages. You know, if you've been listening to this program for some months or some few years now, you realize how church after church, they keep falling. You know, it's sad that churches are reviewing and revising their old age, or I mean some centuries old constitution or statutes or whatever their foundational beliefs. They are changing it in the name of, they've become woke and, you know, now they have seen the lights and they are enlightened. So churches are revising their statutes and making it more modern. It's very serious. It's as if the Bible we read has been modified as well. But the Bible hasn't changed. So if you are a church and your doctrine, your doctrinal beliefs and statutes is based on the Word of God, where comes in the editing and the modification and modernization of your statutes to make it more user-friendly? So that's what is happening when the evangelicals who hold to traditional Christian teaching on sexuality and marriage are pushing for a new bishop to be appointed in the Church in Wales, following the results of an early September vote to allow pastors to bless same-sex marriages. The Church in Wales, composite of 6 Anglican dioceses in the United Kingdom, does not allow clergy to conduct legally binding same-sex marriage ceremonies. However, in September 6, there was a vote of 28-12 in favor with 2 abstentions, and the clergy were approved to host blessing ceremonies for same-sex unions in their churches. On Monday, members of the Evangelical Fellowship within the Church in Wales expressed formal disagreement with the vote. In a statement, EFCW addressed the Church in Wales governing body, asking for more clarity and consistency in the plan to protect and care for dissenting churches and leaders. And then the EFCW is calling for a new bishop whom it said can represent those who hold to an understanding of the doctrine of marriage as only between a man and a woman. And that's it. They are calling, but if they don't give it to them, they should just walk out of the church. That's it. Well, I'll be back after this break. And I think there was one news item I saw, I think, on my Joy Online, where it talks of some groups also pushing that the law, that the bill that is in parliament regarding LGBT and all that is they say it's illegal. So they are also opposing it. And I saw some of the signatories and, you know, professors and doctors and all that. You know, this thing is not going to be an easy walk in the park. No. That the parliament will just, you realize, you see how the resistance is going to emerge from quarters, various quarters you didn't even expect. It tells you how this LGBT thing is not as simple as it looks. It's not the powers that be and all that behind it and all. So, you see, this whole thing is a system. The system is well-grounded and well-rooted and is spreading worldwide in a very cunning way. And I believe, well, let's wait and see how, when the parliament resumes, what will happen if they can push the bill through. And, well, let's see. And, you know, the issue with some of these things is to do with the fact that most of us just take some of these things lightly. Oh, but what is the big deal and all that? You see, there's a level of influence that some of these things gets on the society. And I believe that's where this trouble comes in. But, well, let's see how things go. This is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this song by Randy Ruthwell.
Praise the Lord. Well, tonight my desire is that we could just come together from the very start and just set our focus, our hearts and our minds on the Lord Jesus himself. He's the reason we've gathered. He's the object of our worship. And I pray that we could encounter the Lord and be changed, be different when we leave than the way we were when we came. So let's just come together tonight and offer this song as a prayer and ask God to prepare us. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a
God.
Lord, we pray to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Sanctuary, a beautiful song by Randy Rothwell. Indeed, we need to be prepared as sanctuaries fit for purpose for the King. And the last number of weeks, we've been talking about digital parenting, and we've been sharing from various angles and various things regarding what is happening and all. This week, there was one aspect which the Lord, Holy Spirit, has been pushing me, and that's what I'm talking about briefly. I'm talking about emphasis on that today, and aside the other reports and all that. You know, the issue of, you know, I started talking about it 2 weeks or so ago, being accountable to the time that we use. But, you know, sometimes people don't appreciate the seriousness of this accountability, that one day we'll give accounts of our time. And this is not necessarily because of parents, or but we all as adults, as whoever listening, youth, child, teenager, whatever, or whoever, we all will give account of our time, how we used our time. And the devil has done so well by finding things to use to channel our time off important things. But let me read Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, verse, yeah, the last two chapters, 13 and 14, yeah. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And this is a very sobering verse that we should reflect on as believers as often as we can, because it summarizes our whole purpose on this life, in this life, or on this earth. The whole essence of we being on this earth is summarized by the wise man in these two verses. And it's even more serious when you read Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12, that says that, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And this is a clear reminder that there's a time to sleep, and there's a time to wake up from our sleep. Solomon puts it again in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it talks of the time for everything and the season and all that under the sun. And see, the first part of this verse is very clear, and that's knowing the time. And I believe this is the whole problem that most believers have. Knowing the time. See, because of our lack of knowledge of the time that we find ourselves in, we have not seen the seriousness of the time. We have not seen the importance of the time. We have not seen the value of the time that we are, quote and unquote, wasting. So we don't even see the seriousness and the importance of the times we are in, let alone place a value on it. So because of this challenge, not knowing the time we are in, we have gladly embraced anything that has been thrown at us by the world system, to the point where we see nothing wrong with anything at all that is out there. But the danger with these things is the fact that it is draining our time. It is taking our time away. Valuable time. And the more I meditated on these verses and all, the more serious I realized that, you know, time, as we all know, as some say, time is money, time is a valuable resource. You can use it to achieve anything. Time, you know, let's say, I read or I listened to one motivational speaker some time back, and he was putting the point across that we can all be millionaires. The question is how we use our time is what has made the difference. So how we use our time and where we use our time is what eventually contributes to where we are now or whatever state we find ourselves in. So time is a very valuable thing, but how you utilize it is what would show the outcome that you get. So someone can use 1 hour, and that 1 hour will earn X amount of money. Someone too can use that same 1 hour and just get one CD. So it depends on your value and how you put in to the one, what you put in to the 1 hour, the time that you have, that would bring you the output. And the value of that period is now measured. So as believers, let's look at ourselves as believers. You've been a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, 15, 17, 19, 20, 30, whichever many years, whatever year you've spent, you've become a Christian or you've been a believer and all that. You have to ask yourself some fundamental questions. How well have you been using your time over the years? The years gone by or gone past and all that, you can't do anything about it. But what you can do is to now safeguard the time effective now and onwards. From today onwards, you can do something about it. And that's what we are talking about. For the time past, we can cry, nothing, it won't change, it's gone. But now let's save our time for the times that God gives us the life to enjoy or to use. And this is where the issue of the technologies then come in, where a lot of these systems have been designed to just take our time so that the initiators of the system, will make money out of it. So last week I was talking about the fact that it's our usage of their systems that is what gives them the money to be billionaires. So they are exchanging a total of our time to make the money, because the longer you stay on their system, the more advert money generates into their accounts, because the advert system is based on the number of people who see the adverts. So the longer you stay on the system, let's look at Facebook for instance, the longer you stay there and you keep scrolling, the more the adverts you'll be seeing. And as you see the adverts, it's been -1. The money is being deducted because someone has seen the adverts. There are some adverts, just seeing it, you are, the person is paying for. There are others too, you have to click it before the payment is done. So it depends. But at least you seeing it, or whether it's the pay-per-click or pay-per-view, once you view it, that's it, you've seen it. But those that are pay-per-click, then you click before the payment is deducted that someone has clicked. But they need you, the users, to be there and spend more time so that the probability that you see an advert and click or you view will be there. So that at least, because if, let's say, nobody goes to the site, nobody opens Facebook, that day they will not make money because there will be nobody to see the adverts, for the adverts to run, to generate money for them. So they need us there. They need you to be there. And now, you see, they've done their research and they've seen that, okay, they just don't need you there, but they need you to spend more time. So you keep spending time there so that the longer you stay, the longer they make them, the more they make the money. So the systems have been designed in ways that makes it tempting, makes it addictive, and eventually... So, I've been there for a long time till I quit and I left. But if you are still there, for instance, you can attest to the fact, oh, there are times you say that today that I'm just going there for just 10 minutes. Hey, just 10 minutes. And by the time you realize that 10 minutes has turned into 1 hour. Because, you see, the system is that it's like, this headline, by the time you realize, this short video, you add up 1 minute, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. By the time you finish, you've crossed the 10 minutes. So it's rather now controlling people. A lot of people are struggling to combat it because it's taking their time off important things. But as Christians, how useful are we putting our time to? Because if at the end of the day we are going to give an account of our time spent, then we should reflect carefully on these things that are also wasting our time. If you can combine it effectively, all the better. No problem with it. But if it is not helping you, you can't combine it with other effective things that should be done for God. Because we just can't be born on this earth, go to school, eat, sleep, get a good job, get married, have children, die, that's all. That is not only, that is far more than, there's far more than that. Life is more than these things I just spoke about. Unfortunately, this is the standard that the world has set for us. So we are busy chasing the system. So we have to go to a good school, get a good grade so that I can progress, then continue, get a good grade so that I can go higher, progress. Okay, you finish, get a good job so that I can have a good life, and all. So the stage is set. It's like, that's the formula. You do this, you get this. So we just move through the system. By the end of the day, life is far more than that. And that's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He put it perfectly there. He summarized it that when all is said and done, we are going to give an account. So after we've gotten a good education, after we've gotten our good houses, our good cars, our good marriages, whatever, yes, it's all good. But beyond that, what else? What else can you give account for? And I believe it's so important we start reflecting on these spiritual important things, because when we think life is just the physical and we forget that there are important spiritual things to also work on, and we are going to give account of our time, when we understand this, then we'll see how important it is to guard our time and use it effectively. Because whatever you do within the time frame that you are alive, you give account for it. And when we understand this, I believe we will not struggle with the challenges that we have regarding these things. One, now the adults themselves are hooked to these technologies and are struggling to come out of it. How well then can you help the children? How well can you help the teenagers? You see, so we as parents need to ensure that we are able to exercise the self-control on ourselves to be role models to also help the younger ones. But if you, the parents, you are struggling yourself, you can't break off the chain, how can you assist your child who is also getting bound gradually by the chain that you are also coming out of? See, and it's time parents sit with the children, reflect on, discuss these things, not just from the social aspect of it or the dangers out of it, but let's discuss it as Christians. As Christians. Because let's see first and foremost that this thing, is it affecting you spiritually? What value is it adding to your spiritual life? Compare and contrast. Is it a negative in your life or is it a positive thing in your life? See the benefits compared to the negatives. If the negatives are beginning to outweigh the positives, evaluate how you are using your time on these things compared to how you spend time in your spiritual things. Because I believe it's clearly off if it's wrong, if you struggle to pray just 5 minutes a day and yet you can scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll for 2, 3, 4 hours on social media. It's off. I mean, it doesn't match because clearly something is not right. Because you can't say you don't have time, and then, but yet you can just, so you can pray for just 5 minutes in a day, and yet the same person who says he hasn't got time to pray, you get time to be on social media, seeing the party pictures, seeing the old school reunion, seeing the day, seeing the that, seeing scroll and scroll and scroll and commenting and liking and sharing, and but you say you don't have time to pray. You don't have time to read your word. You take your Bible, you just read 1, 2 verses, you are dozing off, you are lazy, you feel lazy, you can't progress, your eyes are closing. But yet when you are scrolling on Facebook, Kai, your eyes are open as wide as an owl, the bed. You want to see every alphabet on the screen. You want to read every comment. You want to see all the clicks, those who are doing this, those who have said this, and all that. For that one, your eye doesn't close. You don't feel like sleeping. And the research findings are there, talking of if the impact, how it's affecting people's sleep. Because it's the last that some sleep with, it's the first that they wake up with. And this whole blue light thing, not good for the eyes. So in the darkness, people are still on social media, in the bed, in the dark. And they are, you see, we've cultivated habits and lifestyles which are even not good for our health. Because it's affecting us. See, there are some things that affect us, but you do not really appreciate it. You don't really know until you are told that it's affecting you. And this is one of the dangers that we've allowed into our lives and is controlling us. It's controlling us. People are living their lives virtually on social media. I mean, I've seen people who, they wake up in the morning, they have to announce they are going to work, they have to announce I'm here, they have to announce I'm eating this, even the food they have to. It's like you ask yourself, so what is this? Because their life, they are living their life there, everything, they have to show it and all that. Fine, let others do, but I mean, you and I as a believer, is it worth it? To what end? What is the reason? Why should we just do it because everybody is doing it? Why do we do these things? You see, and sometimes we just convince ourselves that, oh, okay, yes, I also post some verses there, so that means there's nothing wrong with it. But you analyze the time you spend on the spiritual things there compared to the non-spiritual things. You assess it yourself, and you realize that the spiritual things are just a fraction. a small fraction. So we convince ourselves that, oh, we are using it for good things, godly things. So, but when you assess it yourself, you realize that it's just an excuse. It doesn't hold water, because if you, let's say you spend 2 hours, that's about 120 minutes. And of that 120 minutes, you just spend about 5 minutes, 6 minutes on godly material that you posted or you typed or something, or responded to a comment and all that. And the rest of the 115 minutes is on other non-essentials, non-valuable things. Is it really worth it as a believer? Let's ask ourselves these probing questions. Because you see, the times that we are in warrants that we start living our lives as people who understand the times. That wisdom to understand the times is very, very important, because you see, when we understand the times, we will not be engaged in things that are distracting us, things that are causing us to lose focus. And that's the whole essence of these warnings and the things we talk about on, I talk about on this program and all. We should just wake up from the slumber. The devil has managed to keep us in as much slumber as possible, and we are sleeping and sleeping and sleeping. When we feel like waking up, he pushes us back again, go back to sleep, and we are sleeping and sleeping and sleeping. And whilst we are sleeping, spiritually sleeping, sleeping, time is going, time is running out. And yet we wake up one day and we have to give account for our time. How did we spend our time? And we look at it, how last week I was saying that sleep alone is taking 1/3 of our time off. The rest is competing with your school, eating, your bathing, and all these things are taking time in your life. Transportation, traffic, you know. So you take all these things, and then what is left? And the good time, good, quote and unquote, the good times that you have to use it for something valuable, then almighty social media too has come. And they too, they've managed to take a share out of it. But let's remember, one day we'll give account of our time. How well did we use our time? You see, and it will be painful to stand before God and use social media as an excuse. Because that was the time I used for social media. So that's why I couldn't do this for you. I couldn't go to rehearsal. I couldn't go to church. I couldn't do this because I was busy on social media every evening, or this or that. I mean, we can't give these excuses to God. Even men cry. We can't give these excuses to men for them to accept. How much more God? I'll be back after this. Think about it as we reflect on his strength to make us perfect.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Strength is perfect. only know the power that He holds. When we truly see how deep our weakness goes, His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect.
Strength in the midst of the difficulties and the addiction and the lack of self-control and all these things. We need His strength because that is what we need most, His strength, not our strength. Our strength would fail, but His strength is perfect. I think there's a challenge, with the online, the streaming, whether because of the rain, I think, but the net is very, very unstable. It's good. Okay, it's been recorded though, so it's been recorded. So at least we'll upload it. Very unfortunate for online listeners, and very, very unfortunate for that. Okay, so last week I was reading this report, and I started with the first part of the anxiety and depression. What are the potential negative effects of social media on our health? And it's one of the portions I was talking about. But tonight, let me quickly add this second part, that was of sleep. Sleep and mental health are tightly linked. Poor mental health can lead to poor sleep, and poor sleep can lead to states of poor mental health. Sleep is particularly important for teens or teenagers and young adults due to this being a key time for development. The brain is not fully developed until a person is well into their 20s and 30s. Sleep is essential for allowing us to function properly during the waking hours, and teens or teenagers need around 1 to 2 hours more sleep every night than adults. Poor sleep is linked to a wide range of both physical and mental health conditions in adults, including high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, heart attack, stroke, and depression. And it goes on to say that numerous studies have shown that increased social media use has a significant association with poor sleep quality in young people. Using social media on phones, laptops, and tablets at night before bed is also linked to poor quality sleep, even more so than the regular daytime use of social media. It is thought that the use of LED lights before sleep can interfere with and block natural processes in the brain that trigger feelings of sleepiness, as well as the release of sleep hormone melatonin. This means it takes longer to fall asleep, and individuals end up getting fewer hours of sleep every night. One in five young people say they wake up during the night to check messages on social media, leading them to be serious, to be three times more likely to feel constantly tired at school than their classmates who don't use social media during the night. And if you've fallen into this habit or lifestyle, or you've been there before and you felt this, you can send me a message on this issue, this aspect. 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. And then this one, the article in the reports, they quoted someone's message in Northern Ireland, where he says, the time you can spend on some of these apps, they can be very addictive. I lose time to revise and can't do homework. I can't interact with family and friends and lose a lot of sleep at night. And this is the reality. It affects you psychologically and all these things. And, you know, this is all linked to the addictive nature of it, because that hunger to continue is there. You want to see. You want to see more. You want to see more. You want to read more. So scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. It never ends. Then it will restart. Okay, back to the top. Then you start scrolling and scrolling. You see, so you keep seeing new things. You keep seeing, you keep seeing, you keep seeing. And then the time is going. And then they are sitting in their big mansions and enjoying life. And the money is just moving into their bank accounts. The dollars, advert money coming, coming. So while people are losing their sleep and their time and they are scrolling and scrolling, they are just waiting and the bank account is just getting full. They are becoming the millionaires, the billionaires at your expense, at the expense of your health, at the expense of your time, at the expense of your education. Instead of, you know, talk to any university lecturer now, talk to any teacher of higher learning or DHS or SHS, and the quality of students' material now, the writings, what they engage in, the quality of their write-ups, the quality of their actions in terms of academics, is being affected by these things. It's being affected. I mean, there are research work to show. Unfortunately, in Ghana, we are not doing these research things. But I dare say that if we are to do some of these research works or findings, the results will not be even worse than some of the ones we have, research works we have from the West or elsewhere. So that, because it's the same mind, it's the same brain, it's the same age groups that are engaged in these same things, these same technologies, these same phone apps and all. So we are not different from them. So if the impact that they are getting is negative, then we cannot say that we are going to get a different results because we are different. No. So the danger lines runs through. It doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter location. So far as you are on the system, whatever is affecting others, you are also exposed to it. But see, we have to see the importance of these things and take measures whilst we still have the ability to do so. Yes, they are the good side of it. I mean, I've said, yes, the good parts will address those issues. But let's understand the dangers so that we know how to regulate ourselves. We know how to control ourselves. In the midst of all these things, how best can you exercise control, self-control, I mean, usage control, time, all these things, compared to your life as a Christian? How well do you think? You see, ask yourself a simple rule. if, I mean, some time back I wrote this in my morning devotionals, what if Jesus is to physically visit you? The things that you do, how many will you do the same things? The things that you not do, if Jesus is to physically visit you in person, call, he knocks on your door, you open, he comes in, he's coming to spend some days with you, physically, let's assume. There are some things you would not do because he's a visitor, and you, even if he's not a visitor, but because of who he is, you would not want to do some things because you wouldn't want him to see, or you wouldn't want him to, you don't know what he will say and all that. I believe is how we spend our time on the internet is one of such things that we will be very careful of. If Jesus is physically sitting with us and we are holding our phones, we will be careful of how long we spend on these platforms. If Jesus is to physically be with us, we would not, we may even say that, no, today I won't go to Facebook for some time. So far as it's around, I would. You see, so analyze it from this perspective that if Jesus is to physically be with you, if you will not be comfortable doing some things, or you would control how you do some things, or you limit time spent in doing some things, then it tells you that then you need to do those things too now. Even though he's not physically with you, you know that he, God, knows. So then act as though he is physically with you. So that if you know that he is with you, you are going to just spend 10 minutes there. And indeed, the 10 minutes, you will spend the 10 exactly and leave. Then do so too now, because it's important. You see, we have to be conscious of the fact that we shouldn't allow these things to waste our time. We shouldn't allow these things to waste our time. There are a lot more things we should be spending our times on as believers. A lot more. A lot more. Even non-spiritual things, there are important things we can spend our lives on. Because you see, the youth are virtually wasting their lives on time on these systems, social media and the internet and all that. Whereas you can still use the internet to learn gainful and very important lessons. Very, very important skills. You can learn them. You can learn them on your own. You don't pay anything. There are a lot of free things. So far as you want to learn, you can learn. For those in the tertiary, there are a lot of universities out there having their lecture materials or courses online for free if you don't want certificate. But you see, there are things you can learn to improve your life. I'm not even talking of the spiritual part alone, but even the physical life as we know it, there are things you can learn, positive things. So why are we allowing the negatives to just draw and waste our times when we can use our times for more productive things, spiritually as well as physically? Because it's important. I mean, we should renew our minds about how we use these things and how we allow these things to just keep draining us, keep draining us, keep draining us. Because one day we'll look back and we'll ask ourselves, what a mistake that we've done. We'll look back, and if you are to calculate how long you've spent on these things, you ask yourself, this is serious. Some type of phones give you a report every week. To give you a report, how long screen time you've spent. I know some Samsung phones have that feature. And you can see, to show you spent X number of hours this week more than last week. It gives you a breakdown. So you can assess your life. Was it, so of all the time I was using this, what was I reading? Was it a good thing? Was I using it for something more purposeful? And no, at the end of the day, as I keep saying, we are going to give account of our time. How well we use our time as believers. Now we say we don't have time for anything. Evangelism, missions, nothing. We don't have time for everything. We don't have time. We are busy. Yet, we have time for the non-essentials. And these non-essentials are draining us away, draining our time away. And we are poorer spiritually, poorer physically, economically, because it's time and money and all that we are draining and wasting it. Whilst those that are behind the system, they are getting richer on the other side. So you ask yourself, is it worth it? Let me read the number three. It says body image. And this was also part of the research that Facebook themselves did. Internal research that they did that was leaked 3 weeks ago that I talked about on the Instagram, the effects that it's having on the users and all. So this is just confirming exactly that. But because this research work was done 2 years earlier. Body image is an issue for many young people, both male and female, but particularly females in their teens and early 20s. As many as 9 in 10 teenage girls say they are unhappy with their body. That's serious. 9 in 10 girls say they are unhappy with their body. There are 10 million new photographs uploaded to Facebook alone every hour. Can you imagine? 10 million new photographs uploaded to Facebook alone every hour, providing an almost endless potential for young women to be drawn into appearance-based comparisons whilst online. Studies have shown that when young girls and women in their teens and early 20s view Facebook for only a short period of time, body image concerns are higher compared to non-users. One study also demonstrated girls expressing a heightened desire to change their appearance, such as face, hair, and/or skin, after spending time on Facebook. Others have suggested social media is behind a rise in younger generations opting to have cosmetic surgery to look better in photos, which has implications for physical health through unnecessary invasive surgeries. Around 70% of 18 to 24 year olds would consider having a cosmetic surgical procedure. That is serious. Recent decades have seen increased discussion and awareness of the impact of the images of women and girls we see on TV and in other traditional media. However, very little research and focus has been directed towards the impact social media is having on our young people in regards body image. Given how many young people are using social media and how many images they are viewing on a daily basis, it's important that further research is carried out into the consequences of social media for body image. And this, as I said, was 2 years ago. And lo and behold, internal research by Facebook company themselves regarding Instagram usage confirms exactly what this research also is talking about. So the thing is real. It's influencing even Christian ladies. They are influenced by these things. The social media usage, what they are seeing on, is influencing them negatively. It's influencing them negatively. And if we are believers, we should ask ourselves, is this how God would want us to present ourselves online? Is this how God would want us to spend our time in these things, chasing the vanities of this world? I believe there's more to life than these things. Allowing these things, you see, and this is talking of just the ladies. On the other hand, I don't know if there's also a research, but I'll search and see. But equally, as these posters, these millions of pictures are also uploaded, there are equally many men and boys and teenagers and youth who are also getting online to be viewing these pictures. So as the girls are posting, there are equally men and males ready to also view and look and lust after and be liking and commenting. You see, so there's a driving force, bring the pictures on, and then there's also the market demand on the other side, who also like it and comment and share it, and you know, so then the whole system keeps bubbling activity. You post, we comment, we share, we like, we post, we comment. Then the time is going. Then you are on, you are on, you are on, you are on. So whilst it's affecting you psychologically and it's affecting your time, it's affecting your academics because you can't learn, you are thinking, you are worried. I mean, all these things jumbled in your mind, we forget that we are Christians. When all is said and done, we forget that we are Christians and we should use our time effectively. We are going to give account of our time. We forget these things. And these are the danger signs we should be concerned about. And parents should at least help their children not to even get into these lifestyles. Because those in there, it's difficult coming out. So it's easier and better you don't even get into it. That's the essence of these warnings, that parents would adhere to and learn something from these things. And I believe can end it around this place. Okay, there's a few more, but for messages, you can send your messages and let me see if I can open the phone lines tonight earlier a bit. Yes, okay, 15 minutes more. So yes, the phone lines are opened and yep. Okay, so we can continue. You can call 0546-898-888. And you can share your experience. You can give your advice. You can give your comments on the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and I'll be back after this short break.
Well, tonight my desire is that we could just come together from the very start and just set our focus, our hearts and our minds on the Lord Jesus Himself. He's the reason we've gathered. He's the object of our worship. And I pray that we could encounter the Lord and be changed, be different when we leave than the way we were when we came. So let's just come together tonight and offer this song as a prayer and ask God to prepare us.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
with thanksgiving, Lord.
With thanksgiving,
thank you, Jesus.
I'll be your Savior.
Oh, yeah.
So sanctuary for you.
With thanksgiving.
All right, let me continue, and then we have this. So 0546 89 88 88 0546 89 88 88. So 0546 89 88 88. And message 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757 for the messages. All right. So whilst I wait, if there are any calls, let me just continue with the cyberbullying aspect, where it says 91% of young people who reported cyberbullying said no action was taken as a result. And then there's this thing that says that 7 in 10 young people have experienced cyberbullying, with 37% of young people saying they experience cyberbullying on a high frequency basis. And then young people are twice as likely to be bullied on Facebook than on any other social network. These statistics are extremely worrying for the overall health and well-being of our young people. Victims of bullying are more likely to experience low academic performance, depression, anxiety, self-harm, feelings of loneliness, and changes in sleeping and eating patterns, all of which could alter the course of a young person's life as they undertake important exams at school or university and develop personally and socially. So these are some of the dangers, and it goes on to say that cyberbullying can take many forms, including the posting of negative comments on pictures and directed abuse via private messages. Almost all social media networking sites have a clear anti-bullying stance. However, a national survey conducted by Bullying UK found that 91% of young people who reported cyberbullying said no action was taken, and ensuring our young people are safe from abuse online via social media must be a top priority for parents, schools, and social media companies. Then the last item, yes, I have some time, and then that one says that fear of missing out, and they call it FOMO, FOMO, fear of missing out. And that one says that the concept of the fear of missing out is a relatively new one and has grown rapidly in popular culture since the advent and rise in popularity of social media. The term is particularly used by young people, with digital language research showing that 40% of parents do not know what the term means. In essence, FOMO is the worry that social events or otherwise enjoyable activities may be taking place without you present to enjoy them. FOMO is characterized by the need to be constantly connected with what other people are doing so as not to miss out. So FOMO is associated with lower mood and lower life satisfaction. The sharing of photos and videos on social media means that young people are experiencing a practically endless stream of others' experiences that can potentially fuel feelings that are missing out of life, whilst others are enjoying theirs. And that has been described as a highlight reel of friends' lives. And then FOMO has been robustly linked to higher levels of social media engagement, meaning that the more an individual uses social media, the more likely they are to experience FOMO. Many people experience some degree of FOMO. For many, it may not be a problem increasingly. And then increasingly, however, young people are reporting that FOMO is causing them distress in the form of anxiety and feelings of inadequacy. And this is where it goes on, because inadequacy, so now you see your friends are traveling, your friends are going here, and you can't afford it, you don't have it, and all that. Then all the thoughts start running through your life. Your friends are changing dresses, they are driving cars, they are doing this, you are doing that, and then you are not, you know. So eventually it begins to run you down. If care is not taken, as a Christian, you end up doing what you shouldn't be doing just to catch up with your friends, because everybody is going that way and you are not. And these are all some of the dangers that research is showing that is having an effect on the teenagers, is having an effect on the young adults and all. And we have to be extremely careful. These are real statistics. I mean, it's happening. And that's why I said, if even in Ghana, if we are to even do such surveys and all, we realize that, yes, we are no different from these people in UK or in the US and elsewhere. And that's the reason why I bring this caution notices out there, so that at least we'll be careful about how we use our time and utilize our time. Thank you for listening tonight. And I think I had some messages. I'll look at them and see how best to address them, because some are private messages, so I'll just respond to them privately. And in the meantime, this is Eben. The program is Issues of Life, and the station Spirit 88.3 FM. And the file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info. Spiritissues.info. You can also get the previous editions there, and you can also follow it there and watch or listen to them there. And for those in the Telegram group, the file will be uploaded directly, so you can also download, get it from the Telegram group. Just search for Spirits Issues of Life, or Issues of Life and Spirit FM Issues of Life, and all. You find a group, you can just join just to pick the information. It's not a chatting group to disturb you or something. I believe that's it. So thank you for, let me check if some messages which before. Okay, we have, okay, Henry, good evening, long time, yeah. Okay. So we thank God for tonight. I believe as we become mindful of our time and all these things, we'll be putting it to better use. And let's always remind ourselves that we shall be accountable for how we spend our time. And that's tonight's main emphasis. Good night, and God bless you.
Offer this song as a prayer and ask God to prepare us.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. I'll be a living.
Sanctuary.